starting a new series. It's going to be a short series this week and next week, and it's entitled Why We Serve. And you know, that's a great question, because if you've ever been out serving in a community or ever been out serving in any capacity, typically you get people ask you, why do you do what you do? Why are you out here picking up trash? Why are you out here building this house? Why are you doing VBS for these kids? Why are you serving? Like, why do you put your life, why do you put your time, why do you invest your money in doing that? And so that's what we want to answer today. But before we answer that, we want to kind of maybe answer the bigger question of why we do what we do as Christians, as Christ followers. If you're here this morning and you would say that you've committed your life to follow Christ, that you've admitted your sins, and that you are following him with everything that you have, then specifically listen today, because I want to talk about why we do what we do as Christians, okay? And so where we're going to start with that is Matthew chapter 22. So we're just going to dive right in, open up your Bibles to Matthew 22. It'll be on the screen, it'll be in your app. But before we read it, I want to give you just a little bit of background to what's happening here, okay? So Matthew 22, what's happening is that there's a group of people that are asking Jesus important questions. They're asking Jesus questions because they want Jesus to fail. They specifically want Jesus to say something that will give them cause to arrest him, or say something that will give them cause to beat him, or to kick him out of town, or to do something bad to him. That's why they're asking the questions that they're asking. Okay, so keep that in mind, that these people are not asking out of genuine sincerity, but they're asking because they want to trap Jesus. But here's what happens. Check this out. Chapter 22, starting in verse 34, it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, so that's the first group of people that have been questioning Jesus, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got out. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, I'm going to stop right here briefly, just real quick, because what I want to do is I want to point out that there are 613 laws, okay? And so this guy is asking Jesus, which is the best one? If we could only follow one law, what's the law that we should follow? Now, what he's hoping is that Jesus is going to say something like, well, the most important law is to keep the Sabbath, right? Because then they can come back and they can say, well, but your disciples didn't keep the Sabbath when they picked food, or you didn't keep the Sabbath when you healed somebody, so obviously you don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here. That's what they want to have happen. Here's what actually happens. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commands. Now, I want to point something out here, because Jesus has such authority when he's talking here. Jesus doesn't ask them questions, right? He doesn't sugarcoat what he's saying. He first of all says the most important commandment is to love God first. And then he says, he ups the intensity, because then he says, and not only am I going to tell you the first one, I'm also going to tell you the second most important commandment, and that's to love others. Then he keeps going, because then he says, and everything else you know, everything you've been taught, everything I'm ever going to teach you, and everything anyone's ever taught you in the past, all of it hang on these two commandments. If these two things fail, if these two things aren't true, nothing else matters. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Think about that authority. Think about the command that he has in front of these men, where he's telling them everything that matters hangs on these two commands, to love God and to love others. That's it. Nothing else matters but to love God and love others. Basically, Jesus is giving us a model that we should be living our lives by. As Christians, as Christ followers, we should be living our lives by this model of loving God and loving others. We should be putting God first. Now, here's what Jesus didn't say. Nowhere in there did Jesus say, and you should love yourself. Right? He didn't say that. Now, our culture has that mixed up, and their culture had that mixed up too, which is why he said, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the pride, the selfishness that you have, the love for yourself that you have, you need to be giving that to others, not to yourself. Get it off of yourself. Take your focus off of yourself and put it on other people. That's what Jesus is saying here. So he's giving us this model to live by, to love God and to love others. And as Christ followers, then we have to decide to actually do that. Now, a lot of times we forget what Jesus teaches, right? And so these guys, they were experts in the law. They knew everything about the law. They heard what Jesus saw or what Jesus said, and they responded in their minds because they knew what he was quoting from. And so we're going to look at that here in a moment. But before we do that, I want to just point out that what Jesus actually says and what Jesus actually does is the most important things that happen in the scriptures, right? So we're in the youth this year. We're taking this entire year and we're focusing on what does Jesus do and what does Jesus say. We want to just, now Paul is great, right? The Old Testament is phenomenal. But what does Jesus do and what does Jesus say? And sometimes that's important because right here we see that our entire lives, everything we should be doing hangs on these two commands by Jesus, love God, love others. So sometimes it's important to see what Jesus has to say. Let's look real quick. I want to look at another passage where another expert in the law questions Jesus. Okay, so turn with me to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 25. Luke 10, 25, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law, so we have another smart guy, right? An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the first guy is asking, what's the best law? What's the most important law? This guy's saying, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? So Jesus is putting it, he's an expert in the law. He should know. Jesus is putting it back on him. What do you know to be true? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. See, this guy knew the answer already. We know the answer already. Right? Now, Luke wrote this book. He wrote this whole book to Gentile believers because he wanted Gentile believers, that's non-Jewish believers, to know what they believed was true. So basically, he wrote this book to us, right? To a large majority of us in this room today, so that we can know what we believe is true. And based on what Luke is saying right here, based on what he's showing us, loving God and loving others are the most important things that we can do. So I think that should have some kind of weight to it. But I also think that we should look at the original context. Let's look at, you know, Jesus quoted this law. This expert in the law quoted a law. What did they quote? What are they understanding? Because everyone around Jesus knew exactly what these guys were saying. And so I think we need to understand a little bit about what these guys were saying if we're going to love God and love others. So turn with me, if you will, back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay, this is the first law that's quoted. The love of the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. So here's what I want to do. I want us to understand how we love God. I want us to understand how do we actually do this thing? Because these guys knew, these guys in the New Testament, these guys that Jesus is talking to, they knew, they already had it in their minds. And so I want us to understand, how do we do it? Okay? And so the first thing let's unpack Deuteronomy chapter 6 here. The first thing it says is that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, right? So what is your heart? What is your heart? Is it the organ? Like, do they think in this time frame, are they thinking of the organ in your chest that's pumping blood? No, that's not what they're thinking about. In the Old Testament thinking, in the way that they would have understood this passage, when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, when God put this command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, he's talking about your mind. He's talking about your intellect. He's talking about the way you think. In other words, love the Lord your God with your decision maker. With the way that you make your decisions, love God with that. Make God the number one decision that you make. So let me ask you this question right here. Is God the most important thing in your decisions right now, today, as you sit right now? Is God the most important thing in your decisions? And if not, I want you to think about that. Next, we see that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with our soul. Now, there's a lot of people that would debate over what does soul mean. But here's, again, going back to the Old Testament way that they thought and the things that they believed. When they said soul, they were talking about the actual things that you do. They were talking about your activities, about your actions. So love the Lord your God with your actions. In other words, you've made the decision to love God. Now you have to actually do the thing that you made the decision to do. Does that make sense? You have to actually, you said, I'm going to love God and I'm going to read my Bible today. That means you have to actually read your Bible today, right? I'm going to love God and I'm going to show up to church today. That means you have to actually show up to church today. I'm going to make a commitment to God and I'm going to serve on the welcome team or on the kids department team. That means you have to actually do the thing that you made the decision to do. That's what's being said right here. So let me ask you this question. Are you following through with the decisions that you made? Do your actions reflect loving God, if you're to be honest? It doesn't stop there, right? Because he keeps going. And he says to love the Lord your God with all your strength. Some translations say with all your might. In other words, with everything that you have, with your energy. Love the Lord your God with your energy. In other words, you've made the decision to do the thing. You're doing it, but are you actually putting effort into doing it? Or are you just kind of coasting? Are you just kind of showing up for the ride? Let me give you an example. Let's say that I make the decision that I want to lose weight, right? I want to get healthier. So that means I need to eat better. I need to work out. And I make the decision to do that. And then I do it, right? I start eating healthier. I start eating salads. I join a gym, right? And I say I'm going to actually go to the gym. But then here's the kicker. When I show up to the gym, I only pull the weights that I know I can already lift. I only start to walk on the treadmill until maybe a bead of sweat feels like it might start to roll down my head. I'm not putting any energy into it, right? So I've made the decision that I want to get healthier. I've begun to put my actions behind it, but I'm not actually putting my energy into it. I'm not actually following through with the decision that I made. So let me ask you this. Is your energy poured into loving God? Today, as it sits right now, is your energy poured into loving God? You see, when we love the Lord our God with everything that we are, with our strength, with our energy, then we're not going to hold anything back from him. We're not going to say, I'll go this far, but not there. I'll go to church, but I won't serve. We're not going to hold anything back from God. So let me ask you this. Is your energy put into loving God today? So the question is, how do we do that? How do we actually do that? Like, that sounds great, but it also sounds hard, first of all. So how do we do it? How do we actually do it? Now, the amazing thing about God that you guys will see, the amazing thing about God is he tells us how to do the things that we need to do. He tells us how to love him. So let's look real quick at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15, it says this. If you love me, this is Jesus talking here. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What about John chapter 14, verse 23? Jesus replies, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come with them and make our home with them. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Okay, let's look at John 15:10. John chapter 15, verse 10, it says, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. If you keep my commands, remain in my love. If you keep my commands. What about 1 John? Let's look at 1 John 5:3 because this is sounding interesting to me. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. But he goes on a little bit further this time. He goes on a little bit further and he says, his commands aren't burdensome. They're not hard. That's what he says. So do you guys see a pattern here? Because I see a pattern. The pattern that I see says, if I love God, if I actually love God, then I will obey God. Right? That's going to be my goal. That's going to be my focus, is to obey God. Not because if I don't, he's going to be mean to me and he's going to punish me and he's going to do some horrible things to me, but because I love him. If I love God, I'm going to obey God. It's pretty simple. But still, that's hard. Right? Like, if we're honest with each other, I think everyone in this room would say, that's hard. To obey the things that God said. How do I remember the things that God said so that I can obey them? It's hard. Well, again, the amazing thing about God is he tells us how to do the things that we need to do. Right? So look back with me at Deuteronomy 6. After it's quoted where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, it says, these commandments I give today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. So how do I love God? Well, based on that, I love God by loving his scriptures, by loving the things that he taught me, and by putting them in front of me at all times. In other words, I put the scriptures in my heart. Maybe I should learn a little bit of scripture. Maybe I should memorize a little bit of scripture so that it's in my heart. Impress them on my children. Parents, if you're here this morning, I want you to listen to this because this is your responsibility to teach your kids about Christ. This is not Kidopolis's responsibility. This is your responsibility to teach your kids about God. Impress them on your children. Teach your kids. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away. Are you having conversations in your house about God? Are you having conversations in your house about scriptures and about what they mean to you and to your life and into your family? What about when you're walking along the way? What about when you're at work? Are you having conversations about God at work, or are you keeping God out of your job? God doesn't have any business in my job. He doesn't do what I do. Are you talking about God everywhere you are? While you're driving down the road, are you talking about God, or are you talking about the car in front of you? Everywhere you go. Then it goes on to say that you should tie it on your forearms and on your forehead. You should tie a symbol. Now, that makes no sense to us, but let me tell you the context that they're in. What they're talking about is that this should be an outward sign to everyone in the community that you are a Christ follower, that you love God. In their context, that this was a sign to everyone that they were in a committed covenant relationship with God. So does that express who you are to your community? Does your community see you and see someone that's in a committed covenant relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do they just see somebody taking their trash out? Do they see that you are in a committed relationship with God? Finally, it says to write them on your doorpost and on your gates of your house. In other words, as you walk into the house, you should be reminded that this is a house of God. This is not a house of me. And as you leave, you should be reminded that I'm going into the world and I need to be representing Christ today. All of that is happening. This is how we obey God. We can't obey God if we don't know what he said. And so right here, we see how to know what he said, to read the scriptures. Everything I do revolves around the scriptures. Okay? You're supposed to keep the scriptures in front of everything that you do. Let me give you a couple of easy things, right? This is just bonus lessons right here. Okay, so just a couple of bonus lessons I want you to listen real quick. I'd like to propose these things on how you can put God first in your everyday life. First of all, here's the first one. Now, let me preface this by saying, I know none of you do this, but maybe your spouse does. Maybe you should read the Bible before you read Facebook. Right? Maybe we should put God's word in front of the cute video. That's number one. Here's number two. Maybe we should spend a little bit more time in prayer, in conversation with God, before we spend time in conversation with others through text and emails and whatever other conversations we've got going on. Maybe we should spend some time in conversation with God before we spend time in conversations with others. In other words, here's what I'm saying. If we're going to put God first, we have to actually put God first, right? You have to actually do it. So we've talked a little bit about the first commandment, the love God commandment. And that's good because that's the most important command. That's the reason that we do what we do. But it doesn't stop there, right? Jesus didn't stop and say, this is the first and only great commandment. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. In other words, the second is as important. The second one is extremely important, and I want you to know it because everything else hangs on these two things, not the one, but the two things. Love God, love others. So let's talk about, how do I love others? Now again, I feel like in order to fully understand what Jesus is teaching here, we need to understand what they understood. Okay, so turn with me to Leviticus. I know it's a little bit of Old Testament today, but let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. It says this. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, specifically, when Jesus quoted this passage, he quoted from verse 18, love your neighbor as yourself. But what we need to know is that that whole section that I just read, that's one thought. That's all together. That's not a bunch of little, like in our Bible, it's a bunch of little verses, right? But in their understanding, this is all together. This all means the same thing. It's all flowing together. This is how to love others, okay? So first of all, starting in verse 15, he says, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. How many of us have been guilty at one point or another of judging someone based on their looks? Based on what job they had, based on how much money they had, based on what we thought to be true about them. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Love others with your decision maker. Love others with your thoughts. Love others as you think about them. Don't say, well, this person's better because they make more money, so they're more important to me as a friend. It's crazy. Don't judge them in your thoughts. Don't judge them with your decision maker before you even talk to them. But it goes on from there. It continues in verse 16. It says, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Now, here's what we need to know. First of all, it says, do not go around spreading slander. Don't go around gossiping about people. It's silly, right? But let me throw a different translation into you, because this is fascinating. As I was reading, as I was studying, some translators have changed the wording on here, and instead of believing that the word means spreading slander, they believe it means spying. Don't go around spying on other people. Don't go around saying, hey, what did they do wrong? Because it makes me feel better if I know that they did something wrong. Don't go around digging up dirt on other people to try to make yourself feel better, to try to make your decisions make sense, to try to make yourself not feel guilty about not liking them. Whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. What it says clearly right here is not to do it. First of all, it's silly, right? Second of all, based on this, it's a sin. Here's why that hit me this week. Because as I think back to some previous jobs that I've had, as I've worked in apartment maintenance and various other tasks, I've thought back and I can remember times when I would go to someone and I would say, hey, what did they do wrong? That's not what I'm supposed to be doing, y'all. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. If I'm loving others, that's not what we're doing. It doesn't stop there. Not just don't do something bad to someone, but also it also says to help other people. Don't endanger their life, right? Right? So if you see your neighbor's house on fire, don't just sit there and say, oh, sucks to be you, glad it's not me. Help them. Make sure that they are safe. Make sure that they're out. Now, that's an extreme example, right? But what about the small example of somebody with a flat tire on the side of a road? What about the smaller example about someone at your job who's struggling with something? Why can't you help them? Right? So not only are you supposed to not do stuff, but you're also supposed to do stuff that's good. In other words, here's what all that says. Love others with your actions. Love others with your actions. Don't just think they're not bad. Actually do something good for them. Okay? Love others with your actions. And it doesn't stop there. Right? It continues on to something I would say the hardest part of loving others. And here's what it is. Verse 17. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Here's why that's hard. Because based on what that says, I'm supposed to actually confront you if I see you sinning. If you're my neighbor, if you're my friend, if I'm following Christ, I'm supposed to confront you if you're sinning. That's not easy, y'all. And as a matter of fact, sometimes that causes a relationship to break. When you confront someone on their sin and they don't want to hear it, well, they're not going to necessarily be friends anymore, right? I'll give you a couple of examples. One of them turned out great. I was talking to somebody and I told this person that that I felt like they were doing this particular thing and they were putting this in front of God. That they were loving this thing more than they were loving God. And their response, thanks, man. I appreciate you telling me that. I want to fix that. I want to do better. I want to grow. Another example is I told somebody, you did this thing and I don't think it was right. Matter of fact, I think it was a sin. You know what happened there? They got mad at me for accusing them of sinning. And I said, I'm sorry, but the scriptures are pretty clear. Based on what I'm reading right here, what you did was wrong. Sometimes when we rebuke other people, it breaks a relationship. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it. Because is it loving of me to allow you to sin? No. It's loving of me to call you out in sin so that you can grow closer in your relationship with God. That's the loving thing to do. And that's the thing that based on this right here, based on Jesus saying, this is the second most important commandment in the entire everything in the world. This is the second most important thing. That's the thing that we're supposed to be doing. It's hard. And it requires more than our actions, right? It requires our energy. So we have to love others with our energy. Specifically, it requires your relational energy, right? It requires you to put your relationship on the line and to put it all out there and say, I want us to follow God together. Now, here's the reverse of that also. If I'm doing something that's sinning, then you have to call me out too, right? If I can call you out, then you can call me out. And that's the loving thing to do. And that's the thing that based on this scripture, that's the thing that we're supposed to be doing. And that's the thing that's the hardest of anything. It goes on, though. It goes on. It gets harder. Check this out. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Don't seek revenge. Don't bear. Here's the deal, guys. Think about this for a second. Is it loving to you if I wish that you failed? Right? Is it a loving thing for me to do to hope that you go homeless? Is it a loving thing to do for me to wish that you would lose your job? That's not loving. It says don't do it. Don't bear a grudge. Don't hate someone in your heart. Don't wish that they would fail. Go to them. Talk to them. Spend your energy with them. Don't stop at just surviving halfway. Here's what I see, guys. Here's what I, after looking at these different ways that we're supposed to love others, after looking at these different ways that we're supposed to love God, here's what I see. Loving equals serving, right? Serving is a whole lot more than just picking up somebody's trash. Serving is a whole lot more than just cleaning somebody's gutter that needs help. Serving is actually getting into their lives and talking with them and spending your relational energy with them. Serving equals loving. The concept here is that we're supposed to be serving our neighbor, and this is both something that's passive, what we're not supposed to do, right? Like, we're not supposed to talk badly about them. We're not supposed to dig up dirt, as well as active. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to help them, right? Serving is both active and passive. Serving is everything. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I actually believe. I believe that Jesus, if you look at any story of Jesus, anything that he did throughout all of Scripture, you're going to see Jesus serving in this way. He did more than just heal people, right? He did more than just feed people. He called them out on their sin, and he forgave them, and he loved them. And if that's what Jesus did, and he's the example that we're supposed to follow, then I feel like that's probably what we're supposed to do too. I think that that's the type of serving, that's the type of loving that we should be doing. So today I want you to think about loving God and loving others. Specifically, I want you to think about how you are loving God and how you are loving others, not anyone else. You're thinking about yourself right now. We're thinking about you. Are you putting God first in every part of your life? Every part, not just at home, not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday nights at community group, but are you putting God first in every part of your life? Are you willing to wrap your decision maker around loving God? Are you willing to follow through with your actions and to give it everything that you have to serve God, to love God, to obey God? And then I want you to think about how you're loving others today. How are you loving others? Are you putting others first in your life? Are you willing to be inconvenienced or uncomfortable by loving others? Are you willing to be uncomfortable enough to love others with your relationships? Are you putting others first in your life? I want to encourage you, first of all, if you have a grudge, if you have something in your heart against someone, the first thing that you need to do is you need to fix that, right? You need to go to that person, and you need to try to fix that relationship. That we're not supposed to be bearing a grudge against someone else. If you sit here today and you say, man, I've been guilty of this gossip thing, man, I've been guilty of this spying thing, then what you need to do is go to that person and apologize. Repent. Fix that relationship. Love others. Be in a loving relationship with others. Quit talking about people. Put all that behind you so that you can begin to put other people's desires before your own desires. So as the band comes and plays, they're going to play a closing song for us. And here's what I want you to reflect on. Are you willing to put God in the number one position in your life today? Are you willing to love God with your decision maker? Are you willing to follow through with your actions? And are you willing to give it everything you've got? Are you willing to put your energy into loving God today? If that speaks to you today, if you say, that's me, and I haven't made that decision before, but I want to make that decision today, then I want to encourage you while the band is playing to go back there to the prayer corner and pray, because those people back there want nothing more than to pray with you to put God first in your life. Here's the next thing. Are you willing to put others before yourself? This is where it starts to maybe get a little bit harder, because are you willing to be inconvenienced by someone else in order to point them towards Christ? That's what we should be doing. God's first, others are second. And the reason others are second is so that we can point them to Christ. As the band comes back, I want you guys to think through this. I want you guys to pray through this in your minds as we're singing this song. I want you to focus on God first and then others.
Thank you for listening to this message. We believe that God has a full and fulfilling life in store for you, and we want to help you live it. For videos, resources, and more, visit us online at LafayetteCommunityChurch.com. And as always, we want to encourage you to plug into a Christ-following community of faith wherever you are. Life is a journey, and no one should ever walk alone.